back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Well, if you're on Facebook, you may already know there is no shortage of pictures and content for history buffs. Several groups have organized to share stories about South Dakota history in particular. One group has a particular focus that makes it just a little different. It's called South Dakota History Pre-1910. And it's filled with some of the older pictures you're likely to see of South Dakota. Alan Petrie is the group's administrator. He's also a computer programmer living in Mitchell, and he joins us for this week's Images of the Past. Alan, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori.
What a fun site that I just now am discovering. And tell me a little bit about how you started, kind of getting involved with this group, start launching it, getting it up and running. What's the origin story of this Facebook gathering?
Yeah, it's an unusual name, and it seems to stand out when you look at it. The Facebook algorithms look at the groups you're currently a part of, and it thinks if it thinks that you're interested in it, it might show it as an option for you, to join. Mm-hmm. And I've heard people say that, wow, it says pre-1910. That seems pretty specific. And when I was thinking about it, maybe I should have said, July 17th, 1910. That would even be more interesting. But, 1910 is an interesting cutoff in time. And
yeah,
I've been a member of other Facebook groups for South Dakota history for some time. And they're so general. There's so much that comes through. I mean, it's just like a machine gun. People post pictures of, their class pictures. They put pictures of an ashtray from an elevator from 1940 and pictures of their grandparents. And all those things are history, and they are interesting, but that's not exactly what I was thinking of when I wanted to get this group going.
Yeah.
1910 is an interesting time because in 1910, or before that, we were still on horse and steam power. The gasoline engines had really taken hold. There were some. And they were starting to take hold on farms, and of course, in automobiles and Harley-Davidson motorcycles came out in like 1903. But they were still pretty much steam and horsepower. The other things going on right before 1910 is the railroads. They were pushing west through our state, and many new towns formed around the 1905-1907 time frame. The postal service. This is interesting. In 1907, the United States Postal Service changed the regulations for postcards. And prior to 1907, one side of the postal, they called it, had to be left blank, because only the thing that could be on there was the address. And on the other side, you could write. And that cost 2 cents for the stamp. And then in 1907, they changed the rules. It said you can write on half of it, leave one half for the address. You can write on the other half. And the other side could be a photograph or whatever you wanted it to be. And they also lowered the price to a penny. And that gave rise to an industry called penny postcards. And a lot of hometown photographers went into that business, where you could go to your local photographer and get a family picture, or have them come out to your farm and take a picture of your house or your barn. And they could print it on postcard stock and send it to your family and friends that were maybe in distant states for only 1 cent. And the photographers at the time were getting set up to do this quite easily for postcards. And so when you look at postcards from that era, it was from about 1907 to the start of World War I. There was just an explosion of postcards. And nowadays when you go out on postcard sites that buy and sell and trade postcards, they're called RPPC, or real photo postcards, and there's quite an industry for collectors for them, and it was just an explosion of material available from about 1907 to World War One.
So how advanced is photography during this time? I mean, like, how we haven't had portable photography like that very long, right?
Right. So
all this is happening at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah, in the 1800s, the technology came around, and around early 1860s with the daguerreotype.
Okay.
And it got better and better. And in the year 1900, Kodak released the Brownie camera, which was very cheap, and it used film, and it was available to the masses. You didn't have to be a photographer to take photographs. And so that was about 1900, and by 1910, that was, you know, starting to take a hold, even in South Dakota. And you start to see a lot more photographs between the 1900 to 1910 time frame. And they're really, really interesting if you like pioneer times, because you see a lot of, like, main streets of towns that look much different now than they did in 1905.
Yeah. When you look at a picture that maybe a contributor puts up or something from your own collection, and many of these images, the origin of them has been lost or is at least somewhat obscured by time, what are you looking for? Like, how closely do you look at some of those pictures to try to piece together a story of what might have been happening in that moment?
Right. And that's an interesting question, and it's something that is a lot of fun in the group, because we might post a picture in the group and people chime in and they notice things in the picture about it, or they can tie it to something else in their own family that they remembered, you know, their grandparents said, well, this is what we had. And but you see little clues in the pictures about, you know, are there horses in the scene? Is there any grass? Are there any trees? There's various things to look at that kind of help you date it. But a lot of times, when you're talking about, like, these real photo postcards, a lot of times they were sent in the mail. And on the back side, there will be a date, and maybe somebody wrote a note to a family member or a friend, and that you can get information about the dating on that. But usually it's based on whether there's horses or not in it.
All right, so there's also, as I scroll through the Facebook group, there's a lot of Native American villages or photography of people from, you know, indigenous people who were here before cameras came. Tell me a little bit why you might see more of those scenes in your site than maybe some other South Dakota history sites.
That's really the reason the group came about, was for Native American issues. If you look at the group description, it talks about South Dakota's had many sad episodes of the treatment of Native Americans. And if you really look back on South Dakota history, it is the history of Native Americans and the arrival of white people. And so if you were to exclude Natives, you're really excluding the majority of the history of our state. And I really feel personally that they've been given a bad deal. And when you look at the history of our state and of our country, it's a very, very unfair thing that happened to the Native Americans. And they're a very rich culture, wonderful to see the old pictures of them in their villages and the way they lived back before white contact or immediately after. And I try to give equal coverage of Native Americans as well as white people in the group.
Hmm. Are there one or two images you've seen recently that really stand out for you, something that sparked your, you know, excitement and encourage you to dig into more in terms of its history?
Yeah, actually, there was a picture on South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Images of the Past. It was on there, I don't know, a little while back. It was a picture of Rapid City, but it wasn't really a city then. It was just prairie, basically, and there's some people hanging in the foreground. In the very distance, you could see what we would call the gap today. On the right would be M Hill, and on the left would be Dinosaur Hill. But in the very distance, really far back, there was something about the size of a fingernail, and it was the blockhouse that the original founders of Rapid City had built. Huh. Now, if you recall, western South Dakota was the Great Sioux Reservation that was created in 1868 by the Fort Laramie Treaty, and all of the reservation, all of what we would call western South Dakota, was reserved. And the white people were not allowed by law, by treaty. But when gold was discovered in the Black Hills, there was a big influx of gold seekers and miners that wanted to find gold. And they were there, actually, there illegally. And John Brennan was one of the founders of Rapid City, and he was one of those that was there illegally. And he, with about 12 or 13 other people, laid out Rapid City in 1876 or 1875, I think it was. And they laid out a 1 square mile plat. In the middle of this plat, on the corner of 5th and Rapid, we would call it today, they put a two-story blockhouse, and I've never seen a photograph of it ever. If you go to the Journey Museum, there's actually a wood carving of it and a drawing. Okay. Someone made a sketch of it. But there was never, ever a photograph of it that I've ever seen. And this picture showed up, and if you weren't looking carefully, you'd miss it. But way in the distance, you can see this blockhouse, and I've never, ever seen it in a photo before. And that got me really excited.
Wow. All right. So the group is South Dakota History Pre-1910 on Facebook. People can ask to be admitted to that group. And Alan, I wanted to ask you, your interest in history and how it changes kind of how, you're a computer programmer, you're living a very modern life, right? And yet you look at some of these pictures, not just as a hobby, but I'm guessing as a way to rethink and navigate the world today. What can you tell me about how images and knowing history and reading history books has relevance to just walking around in 2020? Yeah.
There's a saying that if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it, And sometimes history works in cycles, and things that we think are new happened a long time ago, and we're not aware of it. Sometimes when we look at history and we see what happened in the past, what stands out to me is unintended consequences. So some policy was implemented and they were trying to solve a certain problem, but it actually opened up a can of worms that people maybe are still being affected by today.
Yeah.
And when we look at history, we can ask ourselves, what can we learn from this, and can it help me in my life today, and maybe in terms of public policy or whatever it is?
Right. Alan Pretree is the group administrator for South Dakota History Pre-1910, and we'll put a link up on our website for today's Images of the Past at sdpb.org so you can learn more and see some of those photos. Alan, nice to get to know you a little bit today. I appreciate meeting you, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, lawyers. My pleasure.